What about the head covering? Dear Mr. and Mrs. Pearl, I wonder if you would explain to me just what it means when Scripture says that a woman should wear a covering. A good friend sent me a booklet called Should She Be Veiled? God has convicted her about wearing a covering, and she wanted to share the joy of the covering with me. My husband thinks I am silly and refuses to even talk about the issue. He told me I could do what I wanted, but if I did what he wanted, I would not wear the silly rag. He did ask me to write you because he knows that I read your child training literature. He also knows that you are well known for telling women to honor their husbands, and he thinks you will stand with him on the matter. I am writing, as I do, wondering why some of the women I have seen in your No Greater Joy pictures have head coverings on, and some do not. Either you stick by your convictions or you don't. Which is it? Darlene. Dear Darlene, the reason you see some women wearing extra coverings on their heads, and some are not, is because the church is not the head over the wives, the husbands are. If a man wants his wife to have an additional covering, she should do so, but if not, then she shouldn't. The convictions belong to the individual men, not the women and not the church. God's word clearly states that the church has no such custom, 1 Corinthians 11:16. The scriptures to which you refer are 1 Corinthians 11, 2-16. As you read the passage, you will note that the subject is the spiritual chain of command. This spiritual chain of command is called an ordinance. God says, keep the ordinances. The text makes two things clear. The head covering is a custom that is not part of the church. And the headship of man over his wife is an ordinance that God commands us to keep. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. 1 Corinthians 11:2 and 3. These verses introduce the subject of this chapter. The subject is not head coverings, which verse 16 calls a custom. It is the chain of command. The woman has a head, her husband. The man has a head, Christ. And Christ has a head, God. That is God's chain of command set forth from the beginning. This chain of command is an ordinance that God commands us to follow. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. A man is dishonoring Christ, his head, if he prays with his head covered. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. A woman dishonors her husband, her head, if she prays uncovered. It is a shame or a disgrace for a woman to shave or cut her hair short. Therefore cover it. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. Verses 7, 8, and 9 give a summation of the matter. God is reminding us of how he, God, reached into the clay of the earth and molded Adam into his, God's, own image. God says he made Adam like himself and for himself. Adam was created for God's glory. God made a person like himself, someone who could enjoy the things God enjoyed. Verse 7 finishes by reminding us that woman was created as a glory to the man. God looked at his friend Adam and knew that Adam needed someone for his own glory, someone to be his supporter, helper, and friend. So God reached into the body of man for a rib and made of it a woman. Bone of his bone, cell of his cell, RNA of his RNA, and the image of the one from whom she came. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. God is giving us the foundation of his creation plan. He set up the chain of command. This plan is in the genetic code. It is in the very essence of who and what we are. To recreate ourselves to be the head of the man is an affront to God's original creation. The angels know and understand this created plan. They were there, watching and waiting. God says it is for their sakes, angels, that a woman should honor her husband as her head. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head, because of the angels. The Greek word for power is exousia, meaning authority. This power on her head is speaking of being under her husband's authority. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6:12. This is a spiritual issue put in place at creation. The woman who remains under her husband's authority with the outward sign of the long hair, or some other head covering that stands in for the long hair she does not have, is saying to the rulers of darkness of this world, I belong to this man, and I am under his safe spiritual headship. You cannot mess with me. When a man prays or prophesies with long hair or a cloth covering on his head, it should be sending strange messages to spiritual wickedness in high places. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man, in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Paul recognized that if these verses were misunderstood, they might leave women feeling unimportant. So the Holy Spirit moves upon him to interject the assuring fact that there wouldn't be any men if God had stopped with Adam. It takes men and women in God's creation plan. Paul continues by appealing to our very nature. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Is it comely, Greek, prepo, means proper or suitable, for a woman to pray uncovered? Again, Paul appeals to our innate understanding of human nature. He says it is not comely for a woman to pray uncovered, but for a man to pray covered is a downright shame. Note that the covering that is a shame on the man is his long hair. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? The same covering that brings a man shame is a glory to a woman. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. The covering God gave a woman is her hair. No second covering is ever mentioned. For the Kumboi women in the mountains of Papua New Guinea, a treasured piece of cloth will be used to cover her baby from the cold, not to place on her head, because God gave her hair for a covering. Paul concludes his message with a simple reminder concerning the issue of hair, coverings, and a church's authority. He commands churches to not strive over the issue of hair, long or short, and not to treat it as a divinely sanctioned custom. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Whether you have short hair, long hair, or wear a scarf, God's rule is still for all women, married or single, to keep silent in the church, which includes praying and prophesying. This is not hard to understand, but many find it hard to accept. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. 1 Corinthians 14:34-35. The church, of course, is not the building. 1 Corinthians 14:23. It is the assembly of believers for the purpose of worship, preaching of the word, and ministry of the gifts. The 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians discusses the church and its functions. To answer your question. Now, to answer your question, Darlene, do we stick by our convictions or not? Yes, we do. The scripture clearly teaches that the only safe place for a woman is under her husband's authority. As I sit here typing, Several really bad wife examples come to my mind. They are older, wiser, spiritual women who have run their husbands off, or for all practical purposes have shut the bedroom door to them. Most have long hair and wear headscarves and pious dresses, and they are the most rebellious, cantankerous women who ever tormented a man. I have seen them in many places in the country. Some denominations breed more than others. Many claim to be the bride of Christ or a prophetess and spend their lives helping others. Scripture clearly teaches that they will not be any better as brides for Christ than they are as wives to their husbands. Today, women rebel against their husbands so they can express their submission to God. Strange indeed, but nothing new. God told you what He meant for women to do concerning hair, and left it up to you to honor His will. Without being commanded by the church, since it has no customs regarding these things, if you want to fall in line with God's will, as revealed in this passage, ask your husband, "May I grow my hair out long?" Watch his eyes light up. He will say something like, "I've been asking you for years to grow your hair long. I would love it." However, neither long hair nor a scarf on your head are necessary for a heavenly marriage. I know of couples who are bathed in love for each other, and the lady's hair is shorter than my husband's. Oh, but I would be remiss in not telling you. Long hair casts a spell on men that is unparalleled. When the veil of my long hair falls about my body and hips, my old husband loses his mind. We have counseled enough men to know that this is a fantasy they all have in common. For the very few ladies who have husbands who want them to wear a scarf, but they do not want to, I say this: stop being rebellious. Get under your husband's authority and cheerfully, thankfully, wear what your husband requires, knowing that by wearing it, you are obeying God and pleasing your husband. Debbie.